This is Jay Sekulow. It looks like another act of terror on an aircraft, this time from France to Egypt.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Search and rescue teams now combing the waters in the Mediterranean looking for the plane that vanished in the middle of the night.
There are, to break it down, three scenarios: mechanical error, pilot error, and terrorism.
We've been hearing some very revealing information coming from a Greek official, an aviation official. He says that the plane, when it was over their territory, was at 38,000 feet, and then, urgently, it turned left 90 degrees, and then it turned right 360 degrees, and then it plummeted down 22,000 feet before it was lost.
The Egyptians have now indicated that they believe the evidence goes more towards a terrorism than a technical failure, though they're not saying why they believe that to be the case.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
I came up with a list. The Federalist Society was very much involved. And we're going to either choose from this list or people very close to it in terms of their...
So this is your judicial philosophy.
Yes.
You are a constitutionalist.
Correct. Correct. And I'm also... I want high intellect. I want great intellect. These people are all of very high intellect.
The conservative groups are saying, well, it's a good list. Can we trust Trump to stick with it? But that's sort of an endorsement of the list. And then the liberal groups are saying this is a terrible list, which I assume is going to be pleasing to the Trump people. But I suspect it's intended to do two things: appeal to conservatives who would find it to be satisfactory, they're all sound, respected conservative, and perhaps reassure others in the party, because none of these people on the list are so far out that they're beyond the conservative mainstream.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We've got a lot to talk about. Two issues that are front and center. One, of course, the Egypt Air Flight 804 en route from Paris to Cairo. Mysteriously, they say, vanishes, broke up, it looks like. The reports coming in, and this is one thing that's very interesting. The initial reports pretty much right away suspected that this was an act of terror. The flight was did not originate in Paris, actually, but it was coming from Paris. Its last point of origin was from Paris to, in fact, Cairo. It got into Egyptian airspace about 10 miles, and that's when the incident took place. There has been no claim of responsibility yet, but we expect that will be forthcoming. Officials are saying that it is suspected terrorism in Jordan, as we know, with our national security practice, that the stops before it went to Paris were Eritrea and Tunisia, both hot spots for terrorism.
Yeah, that's right. And so this would point to Egyptian Air has had a lot of trouble in the past securing their airplanes, and also because of the locations that they visit. And you just named a couple of them. But again, this originating out of Paris, a smaller plane, 66 people on board, and all indications now in the French president saying the plane had crashed. Others are calling it missing. But what we know is that is likely somewhere in the Mediterranean. Not far away from Egypt, pretty close. You could see it on the map. Cairo would have been on a normal flight path until very close to the end.
There were some strange maneuvers of the aircraft, but that could be a host of reasons we don't know. Egyptian officials are saying that terrorism is the likely cause of the incident. Fan reaction already I saw on Capitol Hill. You're in Washington right now. Pete King came out early saying, look, you got to assume if it's Egypt, an airplane, France, going to Egypt, probably terrorism.
We've said many times on this broadcast, Jay, that it's important that terrorism actually be the first question that is asked rather than the last. We've had an administration that's had it exactly backwards. There's many reasons for that, but the most significant of one, a lot of times there are coordinated attacks, Jay. It's very important in the hours after this, before you can even conclude that it's terrorism, that all your focus be there in case it is.
I'll tell you, folks, we are monitoring it. Our national security team, of course, involved in the legal sides of all of this. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Donald Trump announces his list of Supreme Court nominee potentials. Pretty impressive list. We're going to talk about it when we come back. 1-800-684-3110. We'll talk about terrorism. We'll talk about Donald Trump's judge's pick. How does that make you feel? Is that a factor for you in this upcoming election? Does the fact that there is a Supreme Court vacancy now factor into your decision on who you'll vote for? We'll talk to you at 1-800-684-3110. When we come back from the break, again, we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. We'll also talk about the situation out of Egypt. Also, stop sexual enslavement of those girls in Kenya. We are in court on that. 58,000 signatures. We can get it to 100,000. Go to aclj.org. That's aclj.org. We'll be back with more in a moment.
Israel is under constant deadly terrorist knife and rocket attacks. Jewish students, professors, and Christians who support Israel face vicious discrimination at U.S. universities, all in an attempt to delegitimize the state of Israel. Israel is our ally. The Jewish people are friends. It's our duty to defend them. That's why the ACLJ is launching a massive new multinational legal campaign in defense of Israel, in the U.S., at the U.N., and with world leaders. In just a few weeks, we're co-sponsoring the largest global conference to fight these attempts to delegitimize Israel. But we need these global leaders to hear from you now. Add your name to our new petition, a petition to defend Israel from anti-Israel attacks across the globe. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Officials in France, Russia, and Egypt say terrorism could well be the blame of the downing of an Egypt Air aircraft en route from France to, from Paris, actually, Charles de Gaulle Airport to Cairo. The plane did not originate there. It actually started in, made a stop in Eritrea, which is a hotbed of terrorism, and also in Tunisia before it went into Paris. So that's something to understand and realize what's going on. The plane did not make it to Egypt. Obviously, 66 people on board. Most expected at this point that it is the plane broke up and I've been lost. We'll find out more information on this as facts are developing. Pete King came out very strongly on this, and let's take a listen to what he had to say.
The indicator is certainly, if you had to come down on the side of the scale, will be in the side of terrorism, but it's not official, it's not definite, but certainly the indicators are in that direction. And when you know what's happened in the past with Egypt Air, knowing how ISIS has been talking about major events, and again, right now I would say, again, I don't want to prejudge this, but if I had to bet right now, I would say it's most likely terrorism.
Yeah, obviously no one's claimed responsibility as of yet. We'll keep you posted on that. So we'll take your calls on the issue of terrorism at 1-800-684-3110. And then Donald Trump has enlisted given his Supreme Court list. I will tell you the response is overwhelmingly positive. I want to talk a little bit about why the list came out now, what does it mean for the campaign, and how, I want to know from you, how important is it to you who the potential candidates would nominate as president? As a Supreme Court nominee. So you've got a presumptive nominee in Donald Trump, clearly on the Republican side, and I think pretty close to a presumptive nominee with Hillary Clinton. Does this become a factor for you? For Marianne, it sure does on Facebook. She wrote, the Supreme Court decision has to be one of the most important decisions that we'll face in the next president. Jordan, the list comes out.
Yep.
This is an attempt by Donald Trump to, I'm sure, assure conservatives that he is looking at constitutionalists, and the list is very impressive.
And I'm on an email list with a lot of the attorneys and former government officials in D.C. I know you are as well, Dad. And there was a lot of praise for this list. I mean, people still, they question about, he says he'll use it as guidance. But I think Than is correct, as we talked about during the break when we continue our broadcast on Facebook and Periscope, that really it would be very difficult for Donald Trump to go far outside this list. It would have to be people that are similar. And this is a solidly conservative group of potential Supreme Court nominees. I think it does two things. It probably scares liberals. They realize
they
that Donald Trump is looking at appointing real conservatives, someone that would rightfully fill the seat that the late Justice right. Scalia has left. And on the other side, for conservatives, I mean, we know, one, this is not like a normal political appointment. This is not someone that has to be your fan on the Supreme Court. In fact, Donald Trump included on this list some of the more outspoken judges and justices, one out of Texas, as you said, Ouellette, who said he'd been critical of Donald Trump on Twitter before during the political race, which he has a right to do. I think that also shows that Donald Trump, see, it's a bigger picture. It's about their judicial philosophy, not about politics and their campaigning and who they may or may not support, and that he would look past that. And I think he's pretty good at that. He understands politics versus the reality. And this should excite our listeners who care about this. This is a solid list. I mean, we're going through every one of these judges right now. We've already started some of that analysis.
I'm going to actually give that. Yep.
But overall, these are the names that I think, you know, a lot of folks, these may not be household names yet, but when you trust us at the ACLJ, because we're in their courts, that these are solid people.
Yeah, I think, look, let me give you the name. So Stephen Colton is from Iowa. He's a judge of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit, a position he's held since he was appointed by George W. Bush. He was also a U.S. attorney for the Southern District of Iowa, was a special assistant attorney general in the Department of Justice Office of Legal Counsel. Jordan, you work with the Office of Legal Counsel. That's a big slot. He clerked for Chief Justice William Rehnquist. Allison Eade, Allison of Colorado is an Associate Justice of the Colorado Supreme Court. She clerked for Clarence Thomas. Raymond Grunder of Missouri has been a judge in the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit since his appointment in 2004 by President George W. Bush. He also wrote some significant decisions on informed consent on abortion. He is one of the nominees. Thomas Hardiman is of Pennsylvania, has been a judge of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit. He issued a very good, solid rulings. Raymond Kethledge of Michigan has been a judge of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit since 2008, clerk for Anthony Kennedy. Joan Larson of Michigan, Associate Justice of the Michigan Supreme Court, was a professor of law at Michigan, at the University of Michigan. She described her judicial philosophy this way: judges should interpret the law according to what the laws say, not according to what the judges wish they would say. Judges are supposed to interpret laws and are not supposed to make them. She served in the Department of Justice. Thomas Lee is the son of Rex Lee, famous Supreme Court lawyer, famous U.S. Solicitor General, brother of Mike Lee. William Pryor, good friend of ours of Alabama, is a judge of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit, also was the Attorney General for Alabama. Diane Sykes of Wisconsin, we worked on some of these confirmations, worked on Bill Pryor's confirmation, served as a judge since 2004, appointed by President Bush. Don Willett of Texas, Justice of the Supreme Court there, a good friend of ours, an advisor to George Bush's gubernatorial and presidential administration, also was a Deputy Assistant Attorney General in the Department of Office of Legal Policy, Deputy AG under then Texas Attorney General Greg Abbott. Also, David Strauss of Minnesota has been Associate Justice there. He clerked for Clarence Thomas. So, Than, the list of judicial nominees is solid. And let me ask this question before you comment, Than. Let me ask this question to our audience. Does this list give you some confidence in the Donald Trump nomination? Or are you still suspect? Or if you're on the other side, if you're on the side of Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, did you look at this and say, well, these aren't consensus nominees, so does this give you solace and any comfort with Donald Trump? Were you still concerned? And vice versa on the Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders side. We'll take your calls on that at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. We urge you to call and now. Than, these are, look, whether you think Trump should have been the nominee, not the nominee, there's not a judge on there that's not solid.
Absolutely. It's a great list. And I think Republicans here in D.C., Jay, are particularly heartened to see Thomas Lee and Don Willett on there for this reason. I mean, Donald Trump has clearly put two names on there of one person who's been critical of him and then the brother of someone who endorsed Senator Cruz. So yep. I think politically it's a great unifying document. But again, I want to say this. On substance, this is important to me here in D.C. because if down the road you were to get a nominee that did not adhere to the Constitution, that we did not like, this list would help Republicans and Democrats in the Senate defeat that nominee. So, again, even for the critics out there who don't like Donald Trump, having this list out, having it public, yep. it is one more assurance that the Antonin Scalia seat will be filled by a constitutionalist.
You know, very interesting here. Brian on Facebook writes, how many justices do you think the next president will appoint? Well, Jordan, we know for sure it's one. But just as someone that practices before the Supreme Court, I will tell you this. I mean, it's conceivable, folks, that there are two more. So you could have three justices. That'd be the Supreme Court for the rest of our life. rest of my life. Go ahead.
And when you look at this list, you got plenty of people to choose from. And I think that's a good thing about the list. He didn't just list one or two people. Remember, they've got to go through confirmation process. They'd have to accept to go through that. And I don't think that they've been fully vetted to that process yet. But at the end of the day, I mean, this is a full list. I mean, this is a great group to choose from.
Yep.
And I think that conservatives will be comfortable with just about everybody on there. I just say just because we're going through their records and making sure before we make too declarative. But overall, the reaction to this has been extremely positive, and it comes on an interesting moment. Donald Trump has started really ramping up the heat on Hillary Clinton and the Clintons in general, and is now actually showing a national lead in the polls, 5-point lead in the national polls for the first time against Clinton. There is a little caution there because a lot of the Sanders supporters are not fully on board with Clinton yet, but at the same time, a lot of Republicans aren't fully aboard with Trump. Just to show you that this will again be a very close race, and moves like this is how you consolidate your conservative support heading into your convention, and doing that before the convention is key for Trump.
Interesting fact, too, tying it back into the situation with this apparent act of terrorism, it's not confirmed yet, on this Egypt Air. The only candidate that spoke out on this so far, Will, correct? Donald Trump. We'll get his statement up in a moment. I'll put the others up, too, if they'd comment on this. At least people are calling it a potential act of terror. We're not guessing around that. I watched this develop last night. I'm going to go ahead and take, I'll tell you what, we'll take them after the break. A lot of calls coming in, so we'll take your calls after the breaks, folks, at 1-800-684-3110. Hey, if you're not getting the ACLJ newsletters and updates, you need to do it. I encourage you to go over to aclj.org and simply sign up for our newsletters and our email alerts. You should also be following me and Jordan and the ACLJ on Facebook and Twitter. We get a lot of information out this way. We've got almost 5 million people between us, over more than that, on Facebook right now. So I encourage you, I really encourage you to go and take the next move and get the information that we have available at aclj.org. Get our newsletters, get our updates, get our emails, get our alerts, get our Twitter feed. Very, very important for you to stay engaged that way. Also, let me encourage you, we are right now looking at a situation where in Kenya we could have, as we are in court, we may have 100,000 signatures on this petition to stop sexual enslavement of these girls in Kenya that we rescued. We're in court on that now. We've had success, folks, by God's grace, because these are not easy. It's a case at a time. It's two girls. But for this, to these two girls, believe me, this is a Supreme Court case or more. It was their life. And the good news is that we are now in court on that, and we're getting results. You can sign on to that petition that we want to take to the UN by simply going to aclj.org. That's aclj.org, and I encourage you to do that. When you're there, donating to the ACLJ helps us keep this broadcast on the air and helps us do this work around the world. aclj.org. All right, folks, we're going to take your calls when we come back from the break. 1-800-684-3110. Trump makes a pick or announces basically potential Supreme Court nominees. How does that play into your political calculus? We'll take those calls when we come back at 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in just a moment.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. Israel is under constant deadly terrorist knife and rocket attacks. Jewish students, professors, and Christians who support Israel face vicious discrimination at U.S. universities, all in an attempt to delegitimize the state of Israel. Israel is our ally. The Jewish people are friends. It's our duty to defend them. That's why the ACLJ is launching a massive new multinational legal campaign in defense of Israel, in the U.S., at the U.N., and with world leaders. In just a few weeks, we're co-sponsoring the largest global conference to fight these attempts to delegitimize Israel. But we need these global leaders to hear from you now. Add your name to our new petition, a petition to defend Israel from anti-Israel attacks across the globe. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Everybody, welcome back to the broadcast. Obviously, we're following the down of the plane. Egypt Air flight likely brought down by a terror attack. That's what Egyptian officials are saying. By the way, the plane did not originate out of Paris. It did. The last leg of it was Paris to Cairo. But it went through Eritrea and Tunisia, and these are both areas with heavy terrorism cell group operations. So it looks like it's terror. The Egyptians are saying that. The French are saying that as well. But again, we don't have any confirmation of it. No one's yet claimed responsibility. We're also talking about the situation with Donald Trump giving his list of potential Supreme Court nominees, saying this will be the guides. There'll be others added. Colin on Facebook just said, now Trump has my attention. Well, let's go right back to the phones, or right to the phones. Elizabeth is calling for Fort Worth, Texas. Not Fort Wayne. That's Indiana. Fort Worth, Texas. Elizabeth, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing today, Jay?
Good.
I think it's exciting that Donald Trump is showing how serious he is about holding office. People need to, listen to what the man has to say. Take it, give him some credit, give him some time, give him a chance. I mean, we just spent almost 8 years of change that didn't work. It's now time for someone like Donald Trump to take over.
Well, look, I mean, here's the situation. I don't think anybody that is within the conservative judicial thought or process, or those of us that practiced before the Supreme Court, think that every one of these nominees would be a grand slam. I mean, Jordan, we know most of these folks, and these are good nominations.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, this should be very exciting to conservatives who care about the Supreme Court. Listen, you're not going to know a lot of these names if you're not a very close watcher of the courts, but we do. And that's why it's getting the significant praise from members of Congress, from senators on the Judiciary Committee. People who really know this issue are all saying, wow, this is a great list, a solid list. And Donald Trump consulted various individuals that we are great friends with and was able to put together this list. The only criticism has been, oh, it'll be for guidance. But I think, as Stan's already pointed out, when you put a list like this out, you're going to have to use it. And you can add names to it, obviously.
Sure,
and I think the way he's talking about it is a kind of public revolving document that he will continue to release so it won't be so secretive. And this, I think, actually gets to one of the concerns about any Republican nominee when it comes to the Supreme Court, because in the past, no one would have ever done this. I think Donald Trump may be the first ever to do something this bold and put out the list. And then, people are a little bit surprised sometimes. They're not sure, and you don't have a lot of time to react. Now, these names will get heavily vetted
by
the media.
Yeah, the one negative with this is that it's early, gives them a lot of time for bad groups. When I say bad groups, and they're not bad groups, they're groups on the left, to go after these folks. But look, if you're going to run, if you're going to be a nominee to the Supreme Court of the United States, you're going to be vetted.
They're going to go after you. And the truth is that this, for conservatives, if you are concerned even about the long-term implications of the next president of the United States, you have to look past even Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton and look to the Supreme Court, because whoever gets on there is there for decades.
What's the reaction been, Than, on Capitol Hill to this? I mean, this is, you said, you mentioned earlier that Speaker Ryan said get conservative nominees. I mean, I think this has been Donald Trump has said that. He's now put out a list as a guide. He's not saying that it's going to have to be somebody from here, but this is kind of the guideline. It's a pretty impressive list. It's a very impressive list.
Yeah, very well received, Jay. And I think especially in the United States Senate, remember, the Senate is going to have to confirm one of these nominees. So having a list to work with works to Donald Trump's advantage. And by the way, I think we should probably see a list from Hillary Clinton. That would be a good contrast.
You'd see
the type of judges that would go on the court. And you know what? Honestly, the American people, we have said all along this year, Jay, that the American people need a role in filling the seat of Antonin Scalia. Well, now we know where the name will come from on one side of the aisle. We need the list on the other side so the American people can make that decision.
Remember this. Hillary Clinton has said the number one priority for her, and the reason you shouldn't vote for a Republican, particularly Donald Trump, she said, is here's what's at stake. Number one, safe and legal abortion. So she is not going to like any of the nominees that have been put forward here. Not a single one of them. So that's just fact. All right, Sydney's calling from Denver, Colorado. Hi, Sydney.
Hey, Jay.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Actually, I'm very encouraged. by this list.
Were you a Donald Trump supporter before, or have you?
Actually, I've always been on the fence, to be very honest.
Okay.
I was really a Ben Carson fan from the beginning.
Yeah.
Then I sort of shifted over to Carly Fiorino.
Yeah.
But Trump, let me tell you, there's a lot worse in this world than Trump. But here's the thing. I was so encouraged by the fact that he doesn't know these people, but he is smart enough to call in the people who do know these people.
Well, the fact is, he said he worked with the Federalist Society. Do we have that bite? He talks about he working with the Federalist Society. They're good friends of ours, and they are a very, very good organization. And the fact that he worked with them is a positive. Let's take a look.
I came up with a list. The Federalist Society was very much involved. Various people were involved. As you know, Jeff Sessions is, to me, somebody that I have great respect for.
It's gotten very good reviews from its immediate release.
It's gotten great reviews. The people that have seen it have given it.
Yeah, NARAL's not happy about it. Donald Trump's list of potential Supreme Court nominees are women's worst nightmare. Their records reveal a lineup of individuals who would likely overturn Roe versus Wade, given the chance, gutting what's left of abortion access in this country and helping and heaping punishment on women. That's what NARAL says. So they don't like his picks, which I think would probably be a good thing for those of us that like conservative nominees. Let me take another call here before the break. Let's go to Jay calling from Fairfax, Virginia. Hi, Jay. Jay, you're there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
You're on the air.
Hey, Jim Gilmore, Governor Jim Gilmore, and Judge Roy Moore for Supreme Court, for Vice President Scott Walker, Rick Perry, and for Surgeon General and FDA head Dr. Len Brancewitz and Dr. Joe DiMatteo.
So you've got your picks. I don't think that – I mean, it'll be interesting to see if the Republican nominee will – identify the rest of his cabinet. That's a pretty risky move at this point. The judges, I think, was to secure, let the base know, the conservative base, the Republican Party know, hey, I'm picking conservative nominees. But Jordan, laying out the entire cabinet at this point, I think politically pretty dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, I think there will be a consolidation as we get into the convention and then post-convention as well, kind of that lull period in the end of the summer before it's the fall. And that's when George W. Bush started to kind of assemble the team that would be around him. This move, again, it shows that Reagan-esque. I'm not comparing exactly Trump and Reagan, but a lot of people have, in the sense that, listen, they came out of different worlds than is traditional politics, though Reagan was governor of California, right. Which makes it a little bit different. But he was very much about his advisors. And so if Donald Trump is putting together lists like this, that means the people that have got his ear are the kind of people that want to see the more Alitos on the court, more people like Justice Alito. I don't think there's someone even on this list that would be in the Roberts world, which is a little bit more of the conservative, but to the middle, or Kennedy, conservative, but to the middle.
One Kennedy clerk, but the judge that's been on, the opinions from that judge have been very conservative.
I mean, you can only hold him so much for if a justice that they clerk for, but there are a lot of clerks, I think, on there for Justice Thomas.
Yes.
And the fact that he's looking outside the federal judiciary as well, and including some state Supreme Court justices, and that's something kind of new, and I think refreshing to those of us who care about this issue so much.
All right, folks, we're going to be here for another half hour. If you're only getting a half hour of the broadcast, and a lot of the station time are getting the full hour, if you're getting just the half hour, go over to ACLJ.org. We're streaming the whole program there with a three-camera shoot. You can actually be inside the studio, or just go over to Facebook and Periscope, where you'll get the whole hour of SiriusXM as well. We'll take more of your calls when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We want you to sign on to this petition in our case in Kenya involving those young girls who we rescued. We want to get that to the UN with 100,000 signatures. Just go to ACLJ.org for that. ACLJ.org. And folks, like us on Facebook. Share us on Facebook. Get this information out. You should be signed up for our email and our newsletter alerts. You can do that at ACLJ.org as well. When we come back from the break, I'm going to take more of your calls. 1-800-684-3110.
Israel is under constant deadly terrorist knife and rocket attacks. Israel is our ally. The Jewish people are friends. It's our duty to defend them. In just a few weeks, we're co-sponsoring the largest global conference to fight these attempts to delegitimize Israel. Add your name to our new petition. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome to the broadcast, everyone. No more confirmations other than the thought is that the plane, the Egyptian airplane from Paris, France to Cairo that fell out of the sky was an act of terror. There's no confirmation of that, but all indications, the Egyptian officials feel that is the likely scenario right now. No claim of responsibility as of yet. We're monitoring. The plane did not originate, by the way, in Paris. It originated in Eritrea and Tunisia, both of which have been hotbeds of acts of terror. So, again, this was not a plane that originated in Paris. It was an Egypt Air flight. They had another Egypt Air flight earlier that was, again, taken out of the sky. ISIS reclaimed responsibility there. No one claimed responsibility yet, but we are monitoring the situation carefully. On the Supreme Court front, Donald Trump issued his list. Here's what Hillary Clinton, she does not like the list. Here's how she's responded. Donald Trump, Supreme Court opponents, they will be against Roe versus Wade. They will gut crucial parts of, this is what she says, the Voting Rights Act. They will not be for marriage equality. She said they will be in favor of, they won't be in favor of campaign finance reform. They will repeal the Affordable Care Act. They will not support President Obama's executive actions. Most of those I feel pretty good about. I would say that, you know, most of those, I think most Americans that are conservative would say, yeah, I get it. On the Civil Rights Act, I'm in favor of the Civil Rights Act, its constitutionality, but the idea that, that it would gut part of the Voting Rights Act, those parts of the Voting Rights Act that, you mean, don't allow states to verify who's voting? Okay? So this tells you, that if you don't think the Supreme Court's front and center on this, let me tell you, it is. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. I want to know from those of you that are supporting Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, maybe not supporting Donald Trump yet, opposed to Donald Trump, what is the Supreme Court selection, or at least this list, what does it do for you in the body politics? That's what we want to know. 1-800-684-3110. Taking some calls. Mark's calling from Madison, Wisconsin. Hi, Mark.
Howdy. Ted Cruz had said that if Hillary Clinton is elected or Bernie Sanders, we lose the Supreme Court for a generation. That's probably true.
Yes.
Donald Trump seems to be able to take both sides of almost any issue still, but as y'all have pointed out, the likelihood that he wouldn't change this list of Supreme Court justices and recommendations for federal judges makes it, it's so essential, because that's something that can't be counteracted.
He's not, he said this is a, let me be clear, he said this is a guide. He didn't say it's going to have to come from this list, and he said there'll be more names added. But Than brought up a very important point early on. Than, very important point, and that is once this, you know the parameters, you hold them to it.
Yeah, the only criticism of this list has been that it doesn't guarantee anything, and that is technically true. But listen, I'm telling you, when this nominee is made, it goes next to the United States Senate, and the United States Senate now has this list. If a future nominee would come down and it would be dramatically out of step with this list, I can tell you, even if the Democrats take control of the Senate, I don't think there is any way that nominee could get confirmed through the United States Senate. So this list out there is a good thing. Could Donald Trump deviate from it? Yes. But I don't think he could get that nominee on the court if he did.
Jordan, the politics of this are significant. This is, people are saying it's a political move, and in part it is. It's to assure the base that when it comes to judicial nominees, this is what he's looking for. It's not a guarantee, folks, by the way. And no Supreme Court list is until that nominee is selected, and even then, they've got to be confirmed. But what's your sense on the politics of it?
Yeah, well, I think the politics of it will do a lot to consolidate conservative support, especially at the grassroots level. He's getting praise from the senators, as you said, that will end up fighting the confirmation battle with the whoever the nominee ends up being. It allows for some extra scrutiny. Sometimes in the past, that's why these lists have not been made public. But, you know, we live in such a partisan time now. Yep. It's not hard to figure out where the Democrats are going to go on this and where the Republicans are going to go on it when it's a quality nominee like this. And this also, I think, shows that Donald Trump wants to put forward to the Senate people that are serious nominees with long records who can be trusted as conservative judicial philosophy, regardless they're coming from the state Supreme Courts or federal circuit courts. I think it's a very solid move.
All right, folks, Facebook and Periscope, we're going to get some more of your comments up, so keep bringing those in, and we're going to monitor those. And again, if you want to talk to us on air, it's 800-684-3110. Don't forget our Kenya case. We're taking it to the – we're in court in Kenya right now successfully for these young girls that we've rescued. But now we want to take it to the U.N. and get U.N. action. We're 58,000. I want to get it to 100. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. There's emails coming out on that case today. ACLJ.org. We'll be back with more, including your calls, in a moment.
Just believe me, I can't stand it.
Israel is under constant deadly terrorist knife and rocket attacks. Jewish students, professors, and Christians who support Israel face vicious discrimination at U.S. universities, all in an attempt to delegitimize the state of Israel. Israel is our ally. The Jewish people are friends. It's our duty to defend them. That's why the ACLJ is launching a massive new multinational legal campaign in defense of Israel, in the U.S., at the U.N., and with world leaders. In just a few weeks, we're co-sponsoring the largest global conference to fight these attempts to delegitimize Israel. But we need these global leaders to hear from you now. Add your name to our new petition, a petition to defend Israel from anti-Israel attacks across the globe. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
All right, we're monitoring the situation with the Egypt Air. We're also talking about Supreme Court nominations. Jordan and Than are at our studios, and in the Media Center studio with me here right now is Professor Harry Hutchison. He is our director of policy at the ACLJ. We're talking about the Donald Trump list. Let me take a phone call, and then we're going to get right into it. Let me take Matthew. Actually, Viola has been on the phone from Idaho for a while. Viola, go ahead. Viola, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Jay.
Hey.
Thank you for all the fighting you do for
sure.
Us. And, you know, I just wanted to say in response to the lady who was going to vote for Gary Johnson.
That was yesterday's call.
No,
yep.
Vote is a vote for evil. But this country needs to stop voting for the lesser of two evils, even if we all do write-ins, because we need to vote our conscience, or we
so
are voting
this,
for
let me
evil.
Ask you this, Viola. Does the fact that there's a Supreme Court vacancy and Donald Trump comes out with a list saying, here's my potential candidates, does that sway you in any way?
Yes, it does, but I don't agree with all of his policies, and I'm not sure.
No, that's not what I understand that. I understand that. But how does knowing that the Supreme Court literally hangs in the balance, is that a factor that gives you enough comfort and solace, or are you still skeptical?
I'd rather vote Rand Paul, but he's out.
Well, yeah, no, Rand Paul's, he is out. All right, let's talk about the list. Let's start with, I'm going to get Jordan Than to comment too, but I want to start with Professor Hutchison. Harry, we've looked at the list. We've done a preliminary analysis. You've taught law for a long time. You're director of our policy. Looking at this list, what do we have?
I think we have an excellent list. All of the judges have unassailable conservative credentials. They all appear to strongly support upholding both the rule of law and the Constitution. More importantly, they believe that courts are limited by the Constitution and the executive branch is limited by the Constitution. And I would point out, apparently, Hillary Clinton agrees with that assessment.
Yes, because she's not very happy, especially on the executive action appointment issue. So, Jordan, this is kind of issue joined now at the Supreme Court as a campaign issue.
Oh, and we knew it was going to be.
Yep.
And that was a big question. And it was an honest, good question for Donald Trump, because he does not come from the political world. He's not a former senator or governor who made judicial nominations or voted on judicial nominations. And so where would he go to for advice on this? And to put out such a comprehensive list, not just a couple of names, which he'd already said a couple of names, both who are on here, Diane Sykes and Bill Pryor, and are great, would be great on the Supreme Court. But he's added nine more, and he said he will add more. And it's going to be kind of a public process, so he's not going to do this secretively, like we've kind of seen in the past, where we get a nominee is announced and, you know, there's kind of people guessing about it, and people, they can whittle it down to two or three maybe. And then you go through the confirmation battle and learn about them. These are folks, again, which a lot of conservatives and a lot of former candidates in this Republican race had talked about how it needs to be people with these solid credentials like Harry talked about. And that's this kind of list. It's not someone who's never served in the judiciary. It's not someone who has only been there for a couple of years.
So let me ask you this, Harry, on that point, following what Jordan said, looking at the I know a lot of these judges that have been nominated, and you and I have read these opinions from these judges. I mean, these are well-respected people. Is this the kind of, if we were talking about in the judicial philosophy of an Antonin Scalia or a Clarence Thomas or a Sam Alito, are these those kind of potential nominees?
Absolutely. And they have taken, the potential nominees have taken specific stances on hot button issues, such as the Affordable Care Act. They've upheld religious nonprofits' rights to be exempted on religious liberty grounds, for instance. They've upheld voter ID laws.
Yep.
So I think the record is very, very clear on all 11 potential nominees.
Yep.
And I think conservatives should take heart from this particular list.
So, Than, that's the great question. Will the conservative movement now say, look, the Supreme Court of the United States is at stake here? So if you're a Democrat, you want Hillary Clinton in there because you know what you're going to get. And now if you're a Republican, Donald Trump, do you want Donald Trump because you at least think you know what you're going to get? I mean, he's given a list more than Hillary's done. I think there'll be pressure on Hillary. If you see Hillary's list and compare it with Donald Trump's, I think the judicial philosophies will be very different. But does this coalesce the base?
Well, I think largely the answer to that is yes. I mean, I agree with Charles Krauthammer, who says it's going to have a dramatic unifying effect. And I think the evidence of that is the facts that it generated a response from Hillary Clinton, and it was diametrically opposed to Donald Trump's list. Listen, on this broadcast, we have very strenuously argued for more substance on the issues from Donald Trump. We have it on the Supreme Court, and today is a perfect example of, in addition to the economy, the two biggest issues of this election are going to be national security and the Supreme Court of the United States. And today, there's only one of these two candidates, Jay, that's on the news on both of those issues, and it's Donald Trump.
Yeah, interesting also is that Mitt Romney has now said he is not going to look for another alternative candidate. That came out when about the same time that Donald Trump issued his release. Mentioned Charles Krauthammer. This is what he said about the impact of the Trump list for Supreme Court nominees.
Did the Trump move today, releasing his Supreme Court wish list, change the dynamics in unifying the GOP?
I think it'll have a dramatic effect in doing that. The one thing holding back people who've resisted supporting a Trump, or at least the major thing, is the fear of what a Clinton presidency would do to the Supreme Court and how it would change it for a generation. Now you get a list of 11 who are quite sterling. Three of them clerked for Justice Thomas, two of them for Justice Scalia.
Yeah, and it's a pretty impressive list. All right, we're going to go right back to the phones. Remember, we're going to do a rapid-fire round coming up. So if you want to call us, 1-800-684-3110. Matthew's calling from Frederick, Maryland. Hi, Matthew.
Hey, Jay.
Hey.
Happy to speak with you. I've been a financial donor to ACLJ since I graduated undergrad for
thank you very much.
15 years ago, if that's even possible.
Yep.
I just wanted to reiterate what you said about how the Supreme Court's going to be picked by the next president is going to be my Supreme Court for a generation.
Correct. Two generations, actually. Yep.
Very long. I am a physician spouse, and I have the occasion to interact with a lot of physician wives. And recently on Facebook, we were asked, you know, convince me to vote for Donald Trump. And this is coming from a private group of ladies who are conservative stalwarts.
Yep.
And I've gone to this issue before this list came out that I will take the unknown nominees from Donald Trump versus the known from Hillary Clinton. And this has been a game changer for me. The Donald Trump campaign has reached out to me a couple times over the past year to come work for him. And
you're saying it's a game changer for you. So I'm going to ask Jordan and Harry and Van a comment on that because it's very interesting to say that. Jordan, that was the desired effect. I mean, that's what Donald Trump was trying
exactly
to do here.
Yeah, this is exactly it. As Matthew was somebody who was on the fence. Not necessarily an early Trump supporter who supported Trump during the primary, but has realizes the bigger implications if you know, people are not voting or voting for Clinton instead when it comes to the Supreme Court, was already trying to make that case. But this, Matthew, it makes it a lot easier because yep. It really takes Donald Trump out and says, listen, he's saying this is the kind of people he's going to appoint. We can hold him to that. And the senators, as Than said, can hold him to that. This is a comprehensive list. This is not a couple of names. It's 11 people. So a number of people to choose from to go through that process. And it's probably the next president will have a few, at least, Supreme Court nominations. So you yep. need a list like this that you can work through.
So, Harry, how big is the issue of the Supreme Court of the United States on this next election?
I think it's a very crucial issue. And I think what's really important about this list is it says a lot about the people who are advising Donald
right.
Trump. And I think to the extent that voters who are on the fence can have confidence in Donald Trump's advisory team, that will certainly improve Donald Trump's electability and his ability to unify the base.
Well,
and so I think it's a very, very important first step by Donald Trump.
So, Than, Krautheimer says it's going to have a dramatic effect.
Yeah, I think if you ask Republican voters who don't support Donald Trump as the nominee, what is the top thing that could change your mind? I don't even think it would be close what they would respond. I think they would respond with, if I were convinced that he would give us good nominees to the Supreme Court. And I think this list goes a long way in convincing those skeptical voters that he would do just that. Is he going to win all of them? No, probably not. But this is the single greatest thing he could have done to unify the base.
I think at the end of the day, when you look at the situation, the Supreme Court literally, folks, is hanging the balance. It's not like we're speculating, do we have a vacancy on the Supreme Court? We have a vacancy on the Supreme Court. And I suspect Merrick Garland is not going to be confirmed, which means the next president of the United States, be it Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, are going to be appointing one for sure. And there could be many, many more in the course of an 8-year presidency, two terms. It is literally the Supreme Court for generations, because most of these nominees or potential nominees are in their 40s or early 50s. So they'd be serving on the court for a long, long time. All right, we're going to do a rapid fire round when we come back. You can ask us a question on anything. Our phone lines are jammed right now, but we're going to move from really quickly. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. We even got an opposed call. We'll take that when we come back from the break. Again, 1-800-684-3110. Go to ACLJ.org. Sign up for our email list. You got to be following me on Facebook, Jordan on Facebook, the ACLJ on Facebook. Follow both of us on Twitter as well. And also, if you want to help us at the UN, we're representing those young girls from Kenya that were rescued. We now want to take that to the UN. ACLJ.org to sign that petition. We want to get it to 100,000. We're on our way. ACLJ.org is a great way to do it. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. Israel is under constant deadly terrorist knife and rocket attacks. Jewish students, professors, and Christians who support Israel face vicious discrimination at U.S. universities, all in an attempt to delegitimize the state of Israel. Israel is our ally. The Jewish people are friends. It's our duty to defend them. That's why the ACLJ is launching a massive new multinational legal campaign in defense of Israel, in the U.S., at the U.N., and with world leaders. In just a few weeks, we're co-sponsoring the largest global conference to fight these attempts to delegitimize Israel. But we need these global leaders to hear from you now. Add your name to our new petition, a petition to defend Israel from anti-Israel attacks across the globe. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
The wait is over, and the load from you goes to us. We'll take your calls on anything. We're doing this rapid fire. Russ from Destin, Florida, you're on line two. Go ahead.
Yes, how you guys doing?
Good, Russ.
Good to hear you.
Thanks.
Hey, I think we're making way too much out of the Supreme Court nominees, because the Supreme Court ruling or decision has actually no weight of law. It's just that
Russ.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court decision has the most weight of law. It determines whether law is constitutional or not.
Yes, but they can't make or change any law.
No, they can't make. Well, they can change it by striking it down as unconstitutional. They could say if the president does an executive action without constitutional authority on immigration, it's unconstitutional. If the president says the Little Sisters of the Poor have to have birth control available to their employees, the Supreme Court can say, no, you can't under the Free Exercise Clause. So let me have a professor of law talk about this for a moment. Harry? I mean, Russ, I appreciate you listening to the broadcast, but don't underestimate that third branch of government is very powerful.
The Supreme Court has often changed the law through interpretation, an interpretation that differs from what most laypersons can read in the statutory language or even in the Constitution itself. So the Supreme Court is very, very important. It's the ultimate arbiter of law in the United States.
So, Jordan and Than, very quickly, thank you, Russ, for calling. How big of an issue does this play in this election?
Well, I think it's especially important to grassroots conservatives and some of the members of Congress as well who are not totally on board yet. This should make Paul Ryan pretty happy. It should make other senators, as they already have, Senator Grassley, Senator Sessions, who was already a Trump supporter, but people like that, influential, have been around, they know, and they've gone on through that confirmation process. And then also the grassroots, those who were maybe longtime Republicans who weren't sure about someone like Trump as an outsider, they should look a little bit, I think, to the future and realize it's not just about the elections, it's about these long-term appointments.
Yep.
And the Supreme Court is as long-term as it gets, lifetime appointments, that these are judges who could become justices that are around for much longer than Donald Trump will be in office.
Right. So, Than, I call it an intergeneration. These are intergenerational picks.
No doubt about it. And I would just say two things very quickly to Russ. Both candidates vehemently disagree with him. They think it's right at the top of the list of importance.
Right.
The other thing is, look back at Obamacare. Why do we have Obamacare? The Supreme Court.
Yeah. Let me give you a list, by the way, on talking about who's what here. Well, here's who's clerk for whom. Judge Colton, clerk for Chief Justice Rehnquist. Clerk for Thomas, Kethledge, Kennedy, Larson, Scalia, Strauss, Thomas, Lee, Thomas. So you've got a lot of Supreme Court experience in these nominees. We're going right back to the phones. Randy's calling from Ohio. Go ahead, Randy.
Hey, Jay. How you doing?
I'm doing great, sir. You're on the air.
I'm a six-year veteran of the Marine Corps.
Thank you for your service.
I believe that this administration has been trying to disassemble the Constitution to make it to their way of thinking, and these court judges need to talk about abortion and Obamacare.
Well, let me jump right in here, Randy, because we got Harry Hutchison here. So, Harry, these judges have. I mean, they have these are not judges that have shied away from big issues.
No, they haven't, and they haven't shied away from issuing controversial opinions, many of which have no basis either in the Constitution or in the statutory rules given by Congress. And so it's essential that we have judges on the Supreme Court who believe, first, in the rule of law, secondly, in the notion of a limited government, meaning the power of judges and the executive branch are both limited by the Constitution. So I think this is a very, very important issue, and we cannot overstate its importance going forward for the election.
All right, we're going right back to the phones. By the way, the oldest nominee is Strauss at 58. Strauss is the youngest, 41. Sykes is the oldest, who's younger than me, 58. So these are young nominees, which is exactly what you want. Vicky's calling from Utah on line 5. Vicky, go ahead, please.
Yes, thanks, Jay. I'd yep. just like to say I think a great pick for the Supreme Court would be Judge Roy Moore, and for Vice President, Dr. Ben Carson.
Well, look, Ben Carson's a very good friend of mine, and Ben is heavily involved in the VP selection process for Donald Trump right now. Roy Moore, he's gone. Look, Donald Trump has picked state court judges and justices. He's gone to some state courts here, Jordan, which is interesting that he has gone to state court judges, actually.
Yeah, that should actually be exciting to conservatives who care about the issue of judicial nominees, especially because oftentimes it's all about the circuit courts and federal courts, and to have someone who's coming from the top court of a state who's ruled on a whole host of issues. They have long histories because even broader issues come before state Supreme Courts. And they're sometimes outspoken. As one of the potential picks on this list has a very active Twitter account, a justice out of Texas.
Willett.
Yep. And has actually said, he was not a Trump supporter and yet still made it onto this list.
Yep.
And I think that speaks to even Trump and his team's understanding that this is not about politics and elections. This is about long-term legacy.
Buren, you're on the air from line 4. Buren, go ahead.
The Supreme Court. For the next generation, so I think we should singularly be focused on that and not so much on personalities or personal stuff.
Well,
and by the way, I think Condoleezza Rice would make a great VP.
Yeah, well, a lot of people say that. It'll be interesting to see who he picks on that. But let's talk quickly about this, Harry. I think that's right. Personalities don't matter here. The Supreme Court goes past the presidency. The lasting legacy of a president is often the Supreme Court.
Absolutely, and you can look back to the nominees to the Supreme Court by FDR, until he essentially took control of the Supreme Court, he was not able to enforce the so-called progressive revolution, the New Deal.
Right. He tried
the Supreme Court was consistently invalidating laws passed by Congress and signed by President Roosevelt.
Yep.
And so without a change in the Supreme Court, we would not have had the New Deal. Which basically enacted a lot of the progressive era's objectives.
RJ on Twitter says Trump has moderated his tone, but not his defiance on how our government is broken because of Obama and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Hey, Than, quickly here, I'm going to take one more call. But Than, does this compel? You think this will compel Hillary Clinton to say who she's thinking about?
Well, it already triggered a response on substance. I hope it does, Jay. We need that contrast. But even without a list, I think we know the contrast that exists because her campaign responded immediately.
Yeah, it won't be Merrick Garland either. It'll be much more to the left of that. Laurie calling from Victorville, California, the last call. Hey, Laurie, really quick.
I just called about the transparency that our president has always touted and Hillary Clinton, both of them not transparent, but it seems to me I'm a Trump supporter, but here we go. Trump is being transparent before we even have elections. So I think that's a positive thing.
So you're a Trump supporter and this just cemented it. And it's been interesting. We'll talk more about it tomorrow and how the rest of you feel about it. Hey, folks, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. ACLJ.org, a great way to support the ACLJ. Online, any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we're getting really makes a big difference for us. So ACLJ.org is an easy way to support the work of the ACLJ. Like us on Facebook. Share us on Facebook. A lot of you were on watching, thousands watching on Facebook and Periscope today. We appreciate that. ACLJ.org. And also, we've got that petition up for this case out of Kenya that we're going to now take to the UN. We were victorious for these two young girls that were rescued. We won in court in Kenya. We're back in court in Kenya. We're now going to the UN. Go with us. ACLJ.org to sign that petition. Talk to you tomorrow.
Israel is under constant deadly terrorist knife and rocket attacks. Israel is our ally. The Jewish people are friends. It's our duty to defend them. In just a few weeks, we're co-sponsoring the largest global conference to fight these attempts to delegitimize Israel. Add your name to our new petition. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.